This is Signal 337, the podcast for the innately curious and creative. Hi friends, this is Tim McKenna, and this is another episode of Signal 337, coming at you on July 5th. It's been a long time since I put out an episode, even longer than the gap between the last episode on accessibility. But I think we've all had a lot more important things on our mind instead of just listening to podcasts. This last month of June has been fucking crazy. Let's do a little bit of a recap, because there's been a lot, I think, that we've all been kind of going through and dealing with, especially if you're in the United States. So let's talk about cultural monthly recap. Coronavirus is still fucking ravaging the country. George Floyd's death has been sparking global protests on police brutality and Black Lives Matter coming to the forefront of Americans, whether they like it or not. And for the record, if you don't like it, I really don't fucking care. Then there is the racist backlash that is coming from our own society and from people in positions of power. Police brutality is continuing to be on the rise. And I find it interesting that this is the society that we're currently living in right now. There is a quote that I've seen kind of floating around on the internet. I believe the attribution is correct, but if it's not, please let me know. But it is, racism isn't getting worse, it's getting filmed. And that was supposedly attributed to Will Smith. I'm not sure if that actually is something that he said or not. I can't really find where it was said at, but that seems to be his attribution. And it's right. It's not getting worse. It's pretty fucking bad to begin with. It's just now getting filmed and people are seeing it. So in this episode, I'm going to depart a little bit from the business and design and creativity and talk to you as a person and share some of my own beliefs, experiences, and my own naivete as we're all kind of going through everything right now. This last month has sucked. On a personal note, this has been a very difficult month to deal with, a very roller coaster month. If you follow me on Twitter, you may be seeing that I've been posting a little bit about bariatric surgery. I finally had my bariatric surgery done in the beginning of June after months of it being pushed back due to the coronavirus. And I'm healing up quite nicely. This has been a kind of a journey for me since 2013 after I had my first surgery that then failed 2 years later from the band. I've already lost 35 pounds, which is kind of cool and inconsequential really in the grand scope of things. But I'm feeling good and I'm taking a very proactive step in my health. So that was a good thing that happened for me in June. But also tragically, I mean, I've lost some people very important to me, some due to coronavirus and some not due to coronavirus. And a lot of my friends and I are going through some very difficult mourning and grieving process right now. And I'm trying to be the best friend that I can be. And you always want to be able to figure out something to say that will help make the situation better. But when you lose people, there's really nothing that anyone really can say. That has been kind of the shit end of the stick for June. And these are just personal things that I've been dealing with that I've been focused on, but also being aware of the greater issues that are going on in society. I think that for a lot of people, that everyone's tired. Everyone's really tired of how every day continues to bring more negativity. The news is constantly reporting on police brutality and minimizing the experiences and the issues that other people are going through while leadership in this country is continuing to falter on both sides of the political spectrum. I am not a bleeding heart liberal. I am not a hard conservative at all. I'm very squarely kind of in the middle and think about what's best for everybody. And I'm dismayed. I'm ashamed a little bit. No, I'm not ashamed a little bit. I'm ashamed a lot of bit. I'm ashamed of where we're at as a country, and I'm ashamed of where we're at as a society. And I'm ashamed that these cultures of power and privilege continue to push an outdated, outmoded, very insular perspective and agenda on the rest of America. And this is what not America should be. This is not what America should be at all. So these are the things that have been weighing on my mind. And I think about myself, Tim, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do to help? Because my initial reaction is always to knee-jerk jump in and try to help somewhere, somehow. And honestly, this has been something that I've been struggling with a good bit, is that when I see injustice happening and when I see things that I feel are unfair, my first reaction is to instantly jump in and not be totally informed, not totally know how to do things correctly, and I let my mouth get the best of me, and I don't do anyone any help. I ended up becoming more of a pain in the ass for everything. So these are some of the things that I have to work on, but over the course of the last month and taking in everything, really thinking about people's experiences and how our society truly fucks over a lot of people, I'm just very thoughtful at this point about how I can be helpful. I want to share a little bit about some of my experiences in a kind of a inclusive, diverse, global, equitable society that I know works, and I'm trying to help get people to think and see and understand how this is a benefit. So, story time. When I was going to college in Philadelphia, let's actually take it back a few months before that, before I started going to college in Philadelphia, I went to school and did the tour, and you know, they're kind of selling me, hey, you should really come here and everything. And they didn't have dorms. This was a small, very, very small art school in downtown, in Center City, Philadelphia. And they didn't have dorms, they didn't have housing at all. And I asked, like, well, what do most students do? And the majority of students, you know, commuted in. Either they lived in the Philadelphia metro area and they could take SEPTA, or they lived over in Jersey and they took, you know, the rail over and everything. And here I am, like, you know, this dude coming from central Pennsylvania, and I didn't know much about Philly beyond when I played there in my band years ago and gone to shows. So I learned from the administration that there was a student that was currently living at the International House of Philadelphia. Now, I heard of international houses before. I think most of my experience was that they were just a dorm as part of a larger college campus. My wife, in fact, who went to West Virginia University, they had an international house, quote unquote, on campus. And that was kind of where, like, if you were an international student, that's kind of where they shoved you. But the International House of Philadelphia was part of a larger organization of I-houses that were not 100% completely affiliated with any one college. They were an independent organization that if anyone was staying or studying in a city that was like either interning or you were studying going to university, these places were open for you to apply and live. So it was kind of like a glorified, more rules-driven apartment building in the most base sense of terms, and it really catered to the international audience. Now, if it was just that, if it was just an apartment building for international students, that would have sucked. But International House of Philadelphia's mission, which I'm just going to call iHouse Philly from now on, their mission was to create a model to show to the world how a diverse, inclusive, equitable society can be achieved. A community, a global community can be achieved, and the values and the innovations and the positives that that type of community can bring everywhere. And when I heard all of this, I was like, okay, great. I'm going to see some people from other countries. I didn't know what to expect. So a few months down the road, I've already applied, got accepted, which was interesting because I had to apply to live there. And I was moving in to my suite. And my suite was set up 10 individual rooms, shared living space, shared kitchen, shared bathroom facilities. I was the only white guy in my suite. I was the only American on my floor. And in D House, 7th floor, there are 4 suites, and I lived in the A suite. I was room 6. And being, you know, stupid, angsty, mid-20s-ish, I put 2 extra 6s on my door, so my room was D666, because I thought I was clever and funny. But here I am as, you know, 21-year-old white guy from central Pennsylvania. I'm probably the closest of, like, all the people who lived at International House. I probably lived closest to those International House because where I grew up at was only an hour and a half, 2 hours away. So I met my suite mates, and I had suite mates from all over the place. First semester, most of my suite mates were from Asian countries. So I had a lot of Japanese and Korean students, and I had one student from the Netherlands that lived in my suite. So my RA comes in, the resident advisor comes in, and he holds a suite meeting, you know, and gets to introduce everyone gets to introduce each other. And here I am feeling like a fish out of water. Like, I don't know any of these people. I don't know any of their language. Many of them are from the same country because we had several Japanese students and they cooked together. They spoke Japanese to each other. The Dutch student, he and I didn't really converse very much. I didn't really see him all that much. And here I am in this room getting to talk to, like, introduce myself. And another layer of inferiority comes into play. As they're going around and introducing each other, everyone in my suite is an engineer. Bioengineering, medical engineers, electric engineers, you name it. Mechanical engineers, like they were all engineers. And I instantly felt like the dumbest person in the room. So my RA gets to me and says, could you introduce yourself? I'm like, hi, I'm Tim from 2 hours that way, and I'm a designer. And everyone in the room, like, whoa, they all stopped and looked at me and, like, thought that was the coolest shit they ever heard. And they all were like, well, what do you design? What do you work on? I'm like, well, I'm graphic design, some visual stuff. I'm like, wow, that's great. They are so happy and enthralled to meet me. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, you fucking design medical devices that help save people's lives. You design electrical grids. They're like, yeah, but that's, you're a designer. And I'm like, what? Culture shock completely. I didn't expect a warm welcome from anybody because here I am, the American, the token American in the building. And I didn't know what to expect. Over my course of living at International House, I learned a lot about different cultures, and I learned about people's experiences in the United States. I learned a lot about tensions that other societies have with each other, other countries have with each other. And I've also learned there's so many things that unite us. So one of the things that really struck me, one of the things that really hit home for me, and this is not going to sound good, this is not paint me in a very good light, but I want to talk about growth that I made. You know, when I lived in central Pennsylvania before coming to Philadelphia, and I traveled a lot for my bands and stuff, you know, there's things that you would say, colloquialisms, or just shit that you would say, and you didn't think about how it hurt other people. So one of the things that I learned very hard was that what you say and how you say it really matters to people. Here's what I said. I was down in the cafe, and I never thought that when I would say a certain thing, and I would use it in one context that was incorrect, and how that other people could take it. I was down in the cafe, and I was, you know, joking around with some friends, and I mentioned, "Oh, that's gay." And for a long time, that was what a lot of people just said. And they meant it, and you're using it out of context incorrectly. And they were meaning like, "Oh, that's stupid, that's dumb." I would say it often. "Oh, that's gay. Whatever." And someone knew that that was wrong, reported me. And I never meant it in a way of being discriminatory or minimizing somebody else. I never meant it in a way that was intended to hurt somebody. But my own stupidity, my own immaturity was absolutely wrong. And what ended up happening was that someone who I really, really respected in the leadership at International House called me into his office and said that it's been reported that you were downstairs in the cafe and you were making some homophobic remarks. And I didn't put two and two together. And I was like, "Well, oh, no, that's not the case at all." He said, "Well, you said this. That's what was reported." I'm like, "Oh, shit, I didn't mean it like that." But that's the problem. I'm using a word out of context. I did not think of the consequences, how that hurts other people. And I remember this, Glenn Martin, who was the advisor of all the RAs. I wasn't even an RA at this point. And he was talking about how hurtful that is. Like, if you are taking the word gay and saying, like, "Oh, that's gay," and then you are conflating that with, like, "Oh, that means that's stupid," this or that. Do you understand how hurtful and how disrespectful and how discriminatory that is to others? And I didn't make that connection at first. I never thought of it that way. And I felt like shit afterwards. I felt horrible that I made other people feel uncomfortable. I made other people feel like they were being threatened, and how they were feeling like this was an unsafe place. And that was never my intention. But regardless, what I said in a different context, it mattered and it hurt people. And I thought really long and hard about it. I thought about my own privilege, bias, whatever you want to call it. I thought about, man, the things that I say and what effect they have on it, on other people, how that matters to people. And I thought terribly about, man, I should probably move. I don't know who reported me, and not that that mattered, but if that person felt threatened or minimized or marginalized in any way, shape, or form, the proper thing to do would be to remove myself so that I don't make that person feel that way. But that wouldn't, you know, not only is that only one thing, but I have to change how I speak. I wasn't in the position to move, but I was in the position to make it right and ask for forgiveness and then continue to learn. I wrote Glenn a handwritten letter and I apologized profusely. I wrote him, I think, like a 2-page letter and really thought about how I did not want to create an environment that was discriminatory, that was, you know, marginalizing, that was exclusionary. And I thought about how I can do different things, how I can learn and apply what I've learned to make things better. I asked for forgiveness. And since then, I have never used, "oh, that's gay," as a colloquialism to say, "oh, that's stupid," or "that's dumb," or whatever. In fact, right now, I kind of have a hard time saying it because it brings me back to that moment. I dropped that letter off in Glenn's office before I went to class. And he then sought me out after I'd come back from class. He knew that I spent a lot of time in our basement cafe, which was awesome. He knew I spent a lot of time down there. And he sent someone down to come and get me if I was down there. He wasn't sure I was at. He sent someone down to kind of look for me and say, "hey, you know, Glenn wants to see you." And I thought, okay, you know, they're probably going to ask me to leave. And in fact, he said he really appreciated the letter. And he felt that I was really apologetic. And I told him, like, I felt terrible. You know, he said he really appreciated it. And he said that means a lot. And what I didn't know was that Glenn is he's a gay black man. And just goes to show, like, how stupid and how hurtful things that you say, things that you do can hurt other people. So I learned that lesson the hard way because I did not want to create an environment where people didn't feel welcome, because that's what I grew up and experienced as, you know, living in central Pennsylvania, just not being on the in crowd or whatever. Like, I felt very excluded from things. But here I am in Philly doing kind of the same shit. And I made that a point to never do that. And it's been something that I've thought long and hard about everything that I do. I want to make sure that I'm creating an environment that is open, welcome for everyone. And the rest of my time at International House was so amazing. I got to become an RA the next year. And I worked with Glenn very closely over the next 3 years, coming up with programming and all sorts of things. I worked in that cafe all the time, even when it wasn't my shift. I love that cafe. And while I was at International House, I was also working as a designer for them for those years, helping to make marketing materials for programs. Like, I was wholly invested. And I had kind of a joke that I would tell my friends when I'd come back. And it starts off sounding kind of horrible, but what it really is kind of an interesting way of how everyone, regardless of where you're from, is the same people. So a Central PA white guy who's a design student, a Japanese Korean girl who's a bio major, and an Indian med student who was born in India and grew up in Germany, all walk into a cafe and they all discuss Star Trek. That's the joke. I don't know if it's funny or not, but it's also truth. The whole community of International House was made up of so many different cultures, ethnicities, majors. I had a core group of friends I kind of hung out with all the time that were part of the RA crowd, and our backgrounds couldn't be more different. And there were some things, regardless of where you were from, who you were, whatever, that just everyone enjoyed. We all enjoyed having good friends that liked to listen to their experiences. We all enjoyed trying out different food. We also all learned like how to swear in each other's languages, because that was fun. We all loved music. And for as many different cultures and societies, there were some kind of hard truths I found, regardless of where you're from. Everyone knew who Metallica was, which was awesome and funny. And it didn't matter, like the hard division lines of music, like, oh, I don't listen to this or that. No one cared. You just listened to stuff and you're like, wow, this is kind of neat. I got exposed to so much great food and music and culture and perspectives. And one of the things that I really, really, really enjoyed was that regardless of where you're from, Star Trek was something that was universally seen as awesome. And it was interesting in those 4 years living there, regardless of who you were, where you came from, it was, you could talk about food, you could talk about music. And one of the things that always united, hey, do you watch Star Trek? It was cool. And I learned so much. I grew so much. And I shared my story about, you know, my hard lesson of learning to really show that growth is possible and that words matter. And standing up for things, standing up for justice, calling out bullshit matters. So living in IHouse, I learned how a diverse community of people can create amazing things. Well, the conversations, the very intellectual, deep conversations I would have with my friends from Turkey, from Ghana, from Korea, and from Sao Paulo, from Brazil. We'd have amazing conversations about creating societies, creating technologies and innovation. I mean, we talked about everything, and it was fan-fucking-tastic. And I learned that the things that divide us are really stupid and tenuous and don't really matter. You break down nationalistic loyalties and judge people purely on how they treat others. I mean, I was an American living in a place where we had Russian students and we had Turkish students. And, you know, from a nationalistic point of view, whoa, that's weird because you've got Russians and Americans living together. You've got Turkish students living together with Americans. And you've got other cultural, you know, tensions. I didn't know this beforehand, but apparently Japan and Korea don't have the best relationship in regards to equitable kind of society. Japan kind of looks down on, you know, South Koreans. I didn't know that. But also interesting is that, like, really people just want to be seen, be heard, be valued. And it didn't matter where you came from. Didn't matter who you were. Didn't matter the color of your skin. Didn't matter, you know, your sexual preferences. Didn't matter your creed. Didn't matter, you know, appearance, ability, whatever. Like, people just wanted to be seen, heard, valued, and be part of a community. And that was the most amazing experience, most eye-opening experience for myself. And it greatly informed how I interact with people, you know, since then. I graduated in 2010. And since moving back to Central Pennsylvania, a very homogenous area, what I've learned at International House and what my daily interactions are like here, I strive to create an open and welcoming environment for anyone who interacts with me. Because being exclusionary, that's stupid. You're only shooting yourself in the foot. So the lessons that I learned during my years in college, all those things judging on bullshit criteria, where country you're from, what race you are, like your color your skin is, your appearance, sexual preference, creed, ability, background, all that shit. Stupid. And it doesn't matter for anything. Judging people on how they treat others, that really truly is the measuring stick. And going back to something that's been said a lot when I was younger, you know, treat others how you want to be treated. That's absolutely golden. It truly is. The other thing that I learned is that the diversity of experience and perspective helps you to create a more equitable society. You need that diversity of thought and experiences and ideas to create something better. And whether you're in a service or a product world, wherever you're at, that also you need that. So no matter what, whatever you're trying to do and whatever you're trying, you need diverse experiences. You need diverse perspectives. You need diverse thoughts to help make innovation, make growth, push society to the one thing that everyone at International House loves to talk about, Star Trek. I naively look at Star Trek as this idea of a society that we could get to. Now, sure, you might be able to be like, yep, that's right. Everyone in Star Trek hates the Klingons, hates, you know, this or that. I get that. It's not the model. It is not perfect. But when I think about, when they talk about like Earth and society, they talk about like getting over a World War III and coming together as a planet and leaving behind those tendencies to base decisions and base judgment based on the color of your skin. Like in Star Trek, they've talked about how they've moved past it. They've evolved. And I want us to get there. I want us to get there. I naively want us to have that same type of society, that same type of culture, regardless of the rest of how Star Trek then portrays itself. I think that's something to aspire to, is to create a society where the only judgment that is happening is just how you treat people. So maybe I am naive, maybe I am very childish in my beliefs, but I think that that's something that we should aspire to. So I've ranted on a lot, and my experiences, hard lessons, things that I've learned at International House. And with everything that's going on right now, you might be wondering, what can you do? I don't have much advice if you're international. I would say continue to put pressure on the United States to do better, because we should. I think it's wonderful that so many protests are happening all around the world against police brutality and talking about how Black Lives Matter, because they absolutely do. And anyone who wants to jump in and say, well, all lives matter, this or that, fuck off. That's not what's going on here. Understand that, yes, every life matters, but Black lives matter too. And for so long in this country, African Americans have been marginalized, discriminated against, treated poorly, unfairly, abhorrently. And they have felt that this society, this country, has just, you know, thrown them to the side, thrown them to the trash. And you know what? They're right. I think about what I can do as 35-year-old white guy who's done pretty good for himself. What can I do? How can I use my privilege? I've never been discriminated against based on the color of my skin. 100% true. I've never been discriminated against. So, what can I do? What can you do? Well, I think the first thing, if you are a white American, you need to shut up and listen first. And I don't mean this to point and jab at you, but there needs to be more listening. You need to give other people the podium, and you need to be able to give other people the ability to speak. So shut up and listen. You don't lose anything, and you're going to hear things that are going to challenge your beliefs. They're going to challenge you to the core. You're going to hear some uncomfortable truths, and you're going to hear things that might make you feel guilty. But that's okay. That's fine. This is the phase of understanding and equipping yourself with the knowledge. Equipping yourself from an emotional standpoint. This is a good thing. Shut up and listen. Listen to others. Listen to other African Americans. Listen to other experiences, other people that you've never had interactions with. Listen. And don't make what other people are saying about you and your feelings. Don't take what their experiences and truths have been and make that something that you look at, internalize, and then spew back out as, well, this has not been, I don't feel, or this. No, it's not about you. It's about listening. And when you are able to listen, really internalize and understand and build that empathy, then you find out how you can help. One of the first things that you can do is that when you understand and then see injustices, call that shit out. Create opportunities. Create fair, open opportunities for others to pursue their interests or dreams, whatever. One of the things that we've talked about, and that's been, you know, talked about ad nauseum in the media, is just the discrimination that African Americans have in this country in all sorts of realms, whether you're applying for a mortgage, moving into a certain neighborhood, applying, getting your kids into a certain private school, getting a job, and then the systemic and internal and institutionalized racism that's present in all of those things. These are things that if you see happening, call that shit out. It doesn't take an act of God to do so. It doesn't take anything except for calling out something that you see that is wrong. So call it out. And then don't pat yourself on the back. Oh, I'm a good ally. I called this person out, so I make myself feel good. Don't do that. Use your privilege, use your voice to help others and build that society of the future. I mean, come on, we're in 2020 right now. We're already past the timeline of the movie Idiocracy, though that feels like the realm and the dimension we're living in. We're already past the Jetsons. We're already past Back to the Future Part 2. Why is our country, society, why are we still acting like it's the 70s or the 60s? Where's my goddamn flying car? Oh, you know why we don't have all these great things? Because there's a small group of like-minded individuals that are wanting to keep things the same fucking way all the time. We need that diversity of thought, experiences, ideas, perspectives, so we can make a society that is truly awesome. So if you're in a place of business, say you're a business owner, director, you can hire and stuff, have candid and blunt conversations with your company about what your company does already, what it can do, and what it should do to create more equitable opportunities for people of color. Make sure that your company has clear tenets on how they hire, how they promote, how they compensate. Don't just take, oh, the mission, that's exactly what it is. No, make it clear and call that shit out. Make sure that the hiring practices are equitable and ask to review them. And if that makes you uncomfortable as an employee, well, let's look at it this way. You're working for a company. They're contracting you to do the work. Let's flip it. You're giving your time to this company to build whatever services stuff. Every year you should look at your contract. Should I continue working here or not? And you have to review how well that company has treated you and how well that company aligns with its mission and what you view as valuable. You need to look at it that way. And if your company, organization, whatever, is not living up to the standards of what is creating a fair and equitable society and creating opportunity for other folks, then you really need to reconsider your growth with that company, because you don't want to be continuing with them and perpetuating that. That's also coming from a very privileged position, because not everyone's in the position to be like, well, it's been a year, let me look at my company. We are not doing all that great in regards to diversity and inclusion, whatever that is. I really don't like the idea of diversity inclusion being a tactic. It should be a cultural foundation, cultural pillar. But if you are feeling that the company and organization that you're working for is not doing enough, well, then, you know, quit, move on. Well, that's very prosaic and morally forthright, but not everyone's in the position to do that. So continue being a muckraker. Continue to ask and, you know, demand change and demand growth. And if your company is already doing that, if your company is in taking diversity and inclusion and equity as a pillar of its own, make sure that they continue doing that. Be the protector of that. Time is the most valuable commodity we have. We have limited time on this planet. We start off and we are learning so much. And then we're in a position where we can make changes. And then we get older and then we die. Choose to spend your time wisely and find ways to couple your time and your voice to create that more equitable society. Time is the most important thing we have. And don't waste it. Don't waste it on pining for a fictional, nostalgic past of what America was and how we need to become great again. We're not. The America that we live in right now is not a great society. It can be, but we're not right now. And I choose to view this as an opportunity to create the society that America has always been kind of mutated, visioned as like this great nation. We can be. We can be an equitable society. We can be a society that stands up for truth and justice. We can be that. But we have to put in the work. We have to shut up and listen. We have to use our privilege to call out injustices, and we have to work together to create that society. And I know we can. I experienced it myself on a microcosm level at International House of Philadelphia for 4 years. I know it's possible. I've seen it. And we can get there. And in my own naive view of the world and hoping that we can, I think that that gets us one step closer to that prosaic future that Star Trek likes to promote, is that a united human society where we have done away with prejudice and injustice, and we look to better ourselves. I hope that we can get there, but it takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of people to help create that. So, in conclusion, this is not my typical podcast topic, but I thought long and hard about this. Do I just go back to what I normally talk about? Do I just go back to talking about business and design thinking and all this stuff? And I, in good conscience, could not ignore what's going on right now in American society. And some of you may applaud me for this. That's cool. Hopefully I've done some justice and done some justice to the topic. Many of you might be like, all right, great. Another fucking loudmouth liberal asshole talking about how shitty everything is going on. That's fine too. I honestly don't care what your thoughts are on this. For myself, I wanted to talk about this. I wanted to talk about how I've been feeling about things and my experiences and my ideas of how we can get there. Because to me, it's the right thing to do. And then, you know what, we can go back to talking about business practices and design strategy and everything. And those things are important to me. And that's the reason why I started this podcast. But I can't just sit back and pretend that nothing is going on, nothing to see here, this is fine, and just talk about design in a way that negates and just overlooks everything that's going on. While I don't think that all the world's problems can be solved through graphic design or design thinking, I think that in a way, design, along with thoughtful conversation, I believe they're all going to be ingredients that are going to help create that society. And no one ingredient is, you know, the catalyst for everything. But I do think that the one ingredient that will make that society be so sweet is understanding, listening, empathy. So, anyways, thank you so much for listening to me kind of pontificate. I've shared some things, my thoughts and feelings on things regarding what's going on. You may share those, you may not, and that's okay. You might want to skip this, or you might want to write a blog post and tell me how wrong I am. I welcome anyone to help me learn and grow. So with that being said, I really appreciate your time listening to this episode in particular. I really appreciate anyone who is trying to help create a society that is more equitable. And I always appreciate anyone who's helping me to learn and helping me to grow. So with that, thank you so very much for listening to this special episode. And we'll get back to talking about design things, business things, creative things here in the near future. Until then, please be safe. Please continue wearing masks. Keep the people that are important to you close, and recognize and help others when you can. And with that, thank you very much.